This is Purple Radio on demand.
Hello, good listeners of the Who's Up podcast. Before we get into this podcast, little disclaimer. This podcast is extremely chaotic, and I realise that is kind of a given for the Who's Up podcast. The Who's Up podcast is always extremely chaotic, but this is, and this is no mean feat, probably the most chaotic Who's Up podcast has ever been. And there are points where it gets, let's say, too chaotic. So we've cut certain bits out. You'll be able to tell where bits have cut out because we've got a little bleep. Sometimes this will just be someone swearing, but sometimes we have cut out multiple minutes of footage or audio, whatever. Now, what did we do in those minutes that was so chaotic that we couldn't air it on Purple Radio? I'll leave that up to you, the listener, to guess for yourself. Enjoy the podcast.
This is the podcast. Thank you. In this week's Who's Up podcast, we are going to be discussing The Horns of Nymon and Love and Monsters! I am here with three very special guests. Our glorious Cardinal, Bertie.
Hello!
And two very, 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 very special guests, Lottie and Corbett.
General Kenobi, you are a bold one.
I'm Ollie, by the way. Anyway.
Hi, Ollie.
Before we get into the episode, I've got something very, very exciting to tell you all. Spoiler warning. We're going to be spoiling everything. Anyway, The Horns of Nymon. What do people think of it?
It's actually really boring, bar the the 3 months of it. I fell asleep the first time I watched it, and the second time I watched it, I spent the whole time making sarcastic quips to Harry.
I found some entertaining bits of it.
I find it entertaining in a really stupid way the whole way through.
Yeah.
I think it kind of also isn't really taking itself seriously. It's kind of half taking itself seriously, but this was like the last episode before the infamous season 18 came around. Like, no humour! No, absolutely none!
And no, then, no, and then Tom no, Baker was humour, get back!
Anyway, I think I appreciate it. Without the memes, it's fine.
It's fun when Doctor Who doesn't take itself seriously.
Yeah.
Romana's always a slave. You can't be too sad when she's about.
I love K-9 and Romana, especially this incarnation of Romana. Like, Lala Ward definitely... She sort of overacts, but it really works, especially in, like, the context of Classic Who with the way that it is.
That ending, the face, the, like... I can't really demonstrate that in audio form. Like,
you're watching this podcast.
What you want to do is you want to go on BBC iPlayer, find Horns of Nymon Part 4, or possibly Episode 4. I wasn't really paying that much
scroll
attention to what it's called.
The
and then you
the
go
end.
Right to the end, just before the credits, and you watch Romana 2's face, because it is brilliant.
Okay.
It's amazing. But yeah, like, I love her being an intellectual equal or even superior to the Doctor, which is not something we ever see because the Doctor's a Time Lord. But I think it's a brilliant move to introduce another Time Lord as companion, and I wish they'd be that innovative with the companions these days.
Mrs. Flood, anyone?
Is she a companion?
I've never seen a TARDIS before.
Can't she be a companion?
Watch the Matt,
well, I mean, she could be, but she's
before?
Not.
How do you
Have
know?
You ever seen a Time Lord companion before?
But anyway...
Have you ever seen an ad break before? We're instigating ad breaks!
Spoilers for season one.
Which we don't know what happens yet, apart from the church on Ruby Road, which...
But, kind of counts.
Yeah.
If you ain't seen it, there's a church. It's on a road. I think it's called Ruby Road.
We might spoil it. But yeah... Romana is wonderful. We love her. I love that she makes her own Sonic, and the Doctor's like, oh, it's not as good as mine, and then tries to steal it immediately.
Yeah.
That's just... Why are you guys... stop it! They're doing a Make It Mean! This is a podcast! I'm going to confiscate your phone!
No!
I'm going to have to... bleep this now. I've got to edit it.
It's all your fault.
I've had a clean record.
It wasn't me.
Give me your phone.
For anyone listening, I just covered my mouth in shock. Oh my good, I might record this because this
has gone off the rails.
This is the most off the rails that Wizard Podcast has ever gone, I think. It's fair to say.
They're wrestling each other.
There we go. This is my.
Oh, no! Put his glasses. Their glasses are sort of off their face. No.
Where is it?
Oh my gosh! It's no, nowhere. The cables are gonna fall. Okay, Bertie is beating Ollie up. And reigning champion Bertie takes the crown again.
Is it appropriate to leave all this in?
They stole my phone, they stole my private property. Email. No, I've been silent!
That's not your microphone, that's the sound effects which don't work, you mug.
Everybody, email.
I was about to conflate mug and muffin.
You mugfin.
So, Horns of Daimon, head writer Oliver Buck, everybody.
I still love the idea that, like, there was no reason to call it the Horns of Daimon. It's just, we need to make it clear who Daimon is. We need to make it clear which one is Lord Daimon.
Hang on, this could have been Horny Week.
Oh.
No.
Funk! And as your new stock secretary, I promise to never make horny jokes on the podcast.
Have we got two paid members here?
Well, I mean, I've paid.
Yeah,
I've paid. You can check with Harry.
We've got four paid members here.
Right, yeah, so we could vonk you.
Vonk! 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 It's being recorded.
Oh, yeah.
What?
I'm recording a podcast, you realise.
Oh!
Did you think we were just having a chat?
No, I thought you'd like not recorded it. I was thinking, this is gold.
Yeah, I thought you said this isn't being recorded. And I was like, why not? Are you scared? Are you scared of the consequences of your actions?
Are you scared to edit out my swearing?
Let Lottie say it. Let Lottie swear.
It's meme week.
For goodness sake.
It's the one week. Woman's rights, woman's wrongs.
Woman's rights, woman's wrongs.
I'm so sorry.
I am not.
I promise I'm a responsible individual.
I am not.
Maybe with Ollie Bont, I could take the head writing position on conversations from the coffee shop.
Look, that's a different thing.
We'll vonk them everywhere.
You can't vonk someone from like, the university,
nah,
can
nah,
you?
Nah, nah. Yeah, no.
What is this? Where's the Doctor Who? Can we get that to
right, okay. The Horns of Daimon. It's a funny episode.
Full of horns.
I'll tell you
what. Daimons.
How many
Daimons have you seen today?
Three.
One thing I love about this episode is how, like, blatantly it's a parody of Theseus and the Minotaur, or like just a retelling or whatever you want to call it. But the fact is, instead of coming from Athens, they're from Anath. or you know, like Seth is the first four letters around of Theseus rearranged.
And also is Adric 1.0, let's just be honest.
Yes,
and he's
yeah.
just as punchable. I didn't say that for legal reasons. Anyway.
I love that Seth, rather than being a direct parody of Theseus, he's like almost, you can see how the myth of Theseus could come from that. It's like, he's not actually a hero, but it would look to everyone coming home like he was. Which is interesting to me.
That's an interesting point.
You've actually put thought into this.
This is meme week. This is supposed to be for the I can't say the phrase that I want to say, but it ends in giggles.
I'm pretty sure I said this last time I podcasted on the Horns of Daimon.
Okay.
That's
good to know you're consistently insightful.
It's okay. Last time I podcasted, it was my second ever podcast, and I was not confident. You know, go back to listen to it, and I'm like, oh, I liked this episode.
We're celebrating a very special number of podcasts for one of our panelists.
How many podcasts have you been on this year?
Three!
Yay!
There's a reason we put this episode on week three of term, by the way. That is no coincidence.
Oh!
That was awesome. Oh my.
That was planned.
We discussed this in the exec meeting.
How many weeks did we have this week?
Three weeks in a week.
Oh,
three!
Bertie.
Did I can't. doing that at the exact moment, did we?
Yeah, because I was like, we're putting it on week three, because for obvious reasons.
How many episodes are there in the Horns of Nymon?
Four!
Which is really annoying. See, I should have made it three.
In my first year, you could say how many presidents have we had in Hoosock, and it was three, but now we've got five, so...
How many Hoosocks were there in Hoosock? How many presidents?
How many Hoosocks have there been in Hoosock?
One?
One?
He said he was the only one.
Insightful Doctor.
The last survivor of the pandemic.
How many Hoosocks? You know what I meant.
Can we just talk about the Nymons for a moment? Because I love I love the fact that they're guys in like little fabric, like skin type fabric black suits massive plastic like heads.
This really is.
Why are you being the dirty minded one?
That was what is that?
I'm sorry, you were like, ooh, these men in their skin-tight suits.
What is happening?
It's an interesting costuming choice, is all I'm saying.
Well, and their massive heads.
Yeah.
And the weird waddles.
Yeah,
head-shaming the Nymons.
Yes, I am head-shaming the Nymons.
I'm not I don't like their head-shaming them. I'm making an observation. I made the observation yesterday when we were watching it. I'm making it today.
I do like how the performers for the Nymons can clearly not see anything.
Yeah, and I love that, the headpieces. They're so massive and, like, vaguely bull-shaped, and they've got, like, pale yellow cones of horns. Like, I can imagine, you could make this a serious episode, right? If it was modern Who, so the Nymon sort of looked like the Minotaur in the God Complex. Ooh. And Saldeed was not played by Saldeed, and some of the dialogue was cleared up a bit.
I don't think I want the Horns of Nymon with them looking realistic. That would be horrifying.
To get rid of Saldeed would be a hate
medically
crime.
Accurate Nymon.
It would be a bad idea, but you could make it a serious episode.
Biblically accurate.
I don't need Nymon to be accurate. Please, two eyes is enough.
Coward. How many eyes have you seen today?
Three!
And also, Theseus and the Minotaur, Nymon is just Minotaur, but two letters swapped around and three letters taken off.
Oh.
No, three
you
letters
really
swapped
did
around
research
and two
into this, didn't you?
No, three letters swapped around, three letters taken off. I didn't research it, I just thought about it.
All right,
it's quite obvious.
Nymon,
Minotaur.
Nymonotaur. That makes sense.
Nymon-Simonol?
Simonol?
I'm just talking nonsense now.
Romano, it seems we've landed in mythology again.
Strain
off the pair. I love the dynamic between Four Romana and K9, though.
You can tell
also, weird voice K9. What was season 17 doing?
I think someone had a cold.
Imagine someone...
It was that they couldn't get John Leeson.
Imagine K-9 being played by someone other than John Leeson.
I don't believe that could ever happen.
Anyway.
Joseph Booker comes down from the heavens. Joseph the Bullet Booker. biblically accurate Joseph comes to the studio. So crashes through the ceiling, SAS style.
How biblically accurate. Also, I love that it's so blatantly a thesis of the Nymon. A thesis and the Nymon.
Ah, yes, my favourite.
A thesis and the Minotaur retelling, but in part four it goes completely off the rails.
What's a Minotaur?
Also, I love in the God Complex, the Minotaur in that is said to be a relative of the Nymon, and I find it interesting how there are parallel themes, like themes of, like both the Nymon and the Minotaur in the God Complex set themselves up as gods and set themselves up to be worshipped.
Yeah, so
they both set themselves up as complex.
Well, I mean, it's the God Complex, and the Nymons are in a complex.
I do like how they are different in terms of, like, the Minotaur just wants to sort of die.
Mm.
You didn't have to laugh. There were things I think both me and Cormac. Not on Purple Radio.
Not on Purple Radio.
Whereas
much
the
like Lottie saying the F word.
I don't remember her doing that.
No.
Thank you for downloading.
None of the listeners are going to have to bleep it out.
Excuse me, I'm a child. I would never sully the ears.
I'm going to throw my water bottle at you.
Don't be a kid. I would never.
Well, this is child abuse.
I would never sully the ears of Purple Radio listeners by swearing.
Hoosock fans, email in. Do you think Lossie swore?
Why is this email. A thing now? Email in. Hoosock@durham.ac.uk if you're wondering.
Hoosock listeners, you know,
tweet us.
You smoke signals.
Today I came to this podcast with a mission. And the mission was to derail it.
I came to this podcast with the door code.
The rail has been deed.
So deed!
I'm still vaguely proud of myself for Luna Don't.
I need
a Horns of Nymon parody with Luna Don't. Please.
Speaking of Horns of Nymon parodies, the Nymon song.
Stunning.
Who here's heard the Nymon song?
You should have. It was on the advent calendar.
Exactly. Yeah. That's true.
When I first heard it. And I was like, should I really be listening to this considering I haven't seen the episode this is from?
The answer is yes.
What the hell?
Absolutely.
Lord Nymon!
It is I.
It is I.
I mean, like, quite subtly, my first email I sent to Hoosock is a parody of that, where I'm like, it is I, Ollie. Look back at my first ever email, that's what I put.
This thing is, there's not much about the Horns of Nymon or Love and Monsters that we can say which is original. There's already been podcasts of it.
Is it the Horns of Nymon? Is it? Because I always get it.
Horns of the Nymon!
That's what I was
We've
thinking.
Got this confused multiple times today.
I always used to get it mixed up, but I looked it up for putting it on the Hoosock schedule, and it's the Horns of Nymon.
How many times have I heard this little confusion today?
Seven.
Can you see us almost peeking in the corner of my eye?
Well.
Very peaky podcast.
Almost.
It's fine.
Well, that could be amazing.
Cut to Cormac screeching.
Like Adric in Time Flight Part 2. Anyway.
Also, the Adric cameos in this episode, well, not really cameos, the Doctor just had star stickers and sort of just like...
Oh, yeah, there was.
I think that the Doctor would have used them as, you know how teachers would sort of have... Sorry.
Yeah, I'm good.
Would have little stickers that they just put on your page if you'd done a good job.
Lottie, I have a really important question. Have you watched Full Circle?
No.
Okay, you don't know either. The context of Adric's star. Okay, fine. Enjoy! Enjoy watching season 18!
Are we going to have to put the Full Circle on the schedule?
Like, spoilers for Adric. They die, and then they
No, it's fine, because
star.
Time Flight exists. Except, no, that's still, it's fine. Anyway, this
what
has gone...
What is happening over there? Over the
Bertie's just
the
spinning
table.
And almost falling over and everything. It's a bit peculiar.
Peculiar? That's a fun word.
Sorry, I feel like I sounded quite annoyed. Like a,
what is
what
this?
What is happening over there?
How dare you?
Ban you from Hoosock.
How many Nymons have you seen today?
Eight.
Sorry, yeah, I decided to get it back on track by repeating the most famous of the memes.
That is not going to work with us, you don't realise.
So how many memes are there in Horns of... I'm not going to say the title because I'll get it mixed up.
In Horns!
In the that Horns one. Of
Nymons. In the episode.
In that there episode. Right
no!
There. How many memes can we identify?
Well, there's Lord Nymon.
It's Isildeed. The Nymon speaks of many things. The great journey of life.
Yes.
How many Nymons have you seen today?
Yes.
You meddlesome hussy.
Shout out to Freya.
There's my dreams of conquest.
There were also like a couple of very memeable clips of the Fourth Doctor in the TARDIS with TARDIS console just going. I don't think that's right, K-9.
Also,
weakling scum.
Yes!
Also, spinny TARDIS.
Spinny TARDIS!
We're K-9, almost at double figures.
Are you ready? We're going to spin.
the Doctor resuscitating K-9.
I can't say that because that's a swear.
But that was very adorable.
K-9, spin that.
Yes.
funky record boy.
Spin that funky record boy.
You spin me right. I wish someone had played that while the TARDIS was spinning.
Hold up.
Don't.
We can't.
Don't snap your neck again, K-9. It's not good for you.
Can't tell me what to do.
Quick, someone Google if I need to spin right round is royalty free.
As you can see, we're very responsible in Who's Hot Podcast.
Is You Spin Me Right Round royalty free?
Why did you sound like Alexa?
I do that whenever I need to just sort of say it because it just, you know, it helps.
Understandable.
Also, I'm used to sort of imitating Alexa's voice.
Yeah, you did it very well in conversations from the coffee shop.
That's so coming for my brand, aren't you?
This feels like a shameless plug here. What's going on?
I've never plugged conversations from the coffee shop in the Who's Hot podcast.
And I've never done a K-9 impression in my life. Like,
and I've never been a computer before.
Yeah, I know.
Adult, anyway.
No, I know.
You adult, Oliver.
That's fair. I'll just cut this bit out.
Moving right along.
There's so many memes. Yeah. Speaking of memes, do you want to move on to Love and Monsters?
Sure. Oh no, here it comes.
Are you getting up the Cain yes. and Abel song?
Oh no, I'm
is
not.
Is that royalty free?
I don't think it is, but also I have many thoughts
also,
on
Love
think,
and Monsters.
I don't think Ollie's sanity could take having more senses in this podcast.
Oh yeah, the amount of swearing on Cain and Abel.
Yeah.
You know what?
If you don't really mind swearing, I can highly recommend Cain and Abel's Love and Monsters parody song. It's very funny.
The only actual line I remember from it is just KFC do it. or like something
must
on the lines.
Must be a pope cause I now believe in God.
Oh, that!
But yeah, Love and Monsters, so I realise I didn't actually describe the Horns of Nine one. But
do you want to do it now?
Needs no introduction.
We're good. Love and Monsters.
Another episode that needs no introduction. So what did we think? No, sorry. How hard is your concrete, Elton?
So.
Jenny.
Oh dear. So we've got this guy called Elton. It's not Elton John, according to Elton. He lives in London and he thinks he's special for having lived through alien invasions. When everyone else in London has also lived through alien invasions.
The fact you're like, he lives in London, but he thinks he's special. Little London girl in the corner. Ollie, you live in London.
Do you think you're special
for living in London, do you?
You think you're special for living through alien invasions when everyone in that universe has lived through alien invasions. But anyway, then there's a guy, he's called the Doctor, he looks like David Tennant, and...
never seen him before. A bit of a cameo for an unknown actor.
Like, who's that? Who's the actor in Good Omens?
Michael Sheen?
Yeah, Michael Sheen. He looks a bit like Michael Sheen.
Yeah.
But yeah, so...
John Hamm.
He finds a thing on the internet where it's like, oh, look, it's the Doctor. And then he meets up with some people and he calls them Blinda because it's a London Investigation and Detective Agency. Like fish and chips and rock and roll, which I think is hilarious.
Salt and pepper.
I was just going to say, all of us at once were like, hang on, how on earth do you come up with that on the spot? And then, seconds later, he answers it by just being like, yeah, I've been wanting to use that for weeks.
No, I was about to say.
Elton Pope.
No, Elton.
What is wrong with you?
No, Elton literally going I thought of this really fun name. So if I get all these people together and say we hang out all the time, we need a group name, then I can use him.
I do think it's a really wholesome episode when they're just being a group and they become musical and they cook and they do readings.
Linda United.
It's really nice. It's really nice, and then it is a bit heartbreaking when they all get sort of torn apart.
Why does Mr. Skinner write fan fiction?
Oh, he totally does.
Sorry.
Side note. How many Love and Monster fan fictions do you think there are?
300?
let me get up
AO3.
AO3?
AO3!
How many many AOs have you seen today?
I've seen three.
It said it was the only one.
Well,
archive of.
Hang on.
How many archive ofs have you seen today?
Inspired by Love and Monsters 2020.
2020?
Is Love and Monsters a movie?
I think there's a different movie called Love and Monsters that isn't related to the episode.
That's horrible. Why would they do that?
Well, because when I was looking up to post on Facebook and Instagram and Discord about this week, I looked up Love and Monsters and it came up with a movie.
What season is this?
Season...
Series 2.
Series 2.
April.
Yeah.
Episode...
Episode... Well, it's the... Oh.
10.
10 sounds reasonable.
It's 10.
Because then for her and then...
Army of Ghosts 2 today. Killing
I unironically have like a soft spot in my heart for her, and to be honest, for Love and Monsters.
Yeah.
I have no soft spot. What?
Shame. No fanfiction.
Right. Who Sockers? You know what you're doing. Send it into who.society at durham.ac.uk.
Send it into Durham Who Audios. Audios audio.
We'd love to hear your Love and Monsters fanfiction. The best three will get read out on the podcast next week.
Yeah.
Make sure
disclaimer, they won't.
Oh, they will.
It will.
Do you know what I really appreciate about the character of Elton?
The fact that he's called Elton?
That they resonated some concrete.
Sorry. I was here at Goodbye. The conception of these jokes, and it was quite, you know, it was quite fun.
Yeah! We have control.
Hello, and welcome to the Soul Podcast.
How many people are in this room?
Three!
You're here with your host, Wait, Bertie.
Get look at the
Luckily, I remembered the passcode to get back in.
Luckily you remembered. You were the one that I was not ever
told you. Go away, no!
Can you get out of my chair, please?
No, I'm hosting a podcast!
Go away.
This is me.
We're hosting a podcast.
The live studio's next door, actually.
Violent!
Murderer!
Hang on.
Ollie just doesn't like the Love and Monsters, and they have a relationship with a clean slate.
No! Ollie's just dragged their chair away.
I'm back.
I think people missed that joke, because, yeah.
I mean, I heard it so much.
I'd like to say for Martin and Martin only, I got three concrete sex joke in. You're welcome.
Wait, is that... Did Martin request that?
No, I promised them. I would.
Oh, y- So, is this the most that Who Soccer's gotten off track?
Yeah, I think so.
We win.
What about last week?
Me and Bertie have wrestled each other twice.
You don't want to know what happened last week.
No, you don't.
Paper.
You weren't there either.
How do you know?
Wait, hang on, last week?
Yeah, no, Lord, you weren't there.
How do you know I wasn't there?
It was in my bedroom, so I hope you weren't there.
You never lock your windows, Bertie.
For legal reasons, we'd like to disclaim that this is a joke.
Yes, Bertie does lock their windows. Yes. Please don't come to my house uninvited.
Bertie does lock their windows. I would like to express.
And my doors.
And their doors.
Say sorry. Yeah. Say sorry.
It wasn't live.
Like, shake hands, please.
Say sorry.
No, you deserved it.
Live on Purple Radio, it's the Who Sock Rumble!
Purple Radio.
And here we see Ollie getting in with the first punch. Oh, that's gotta hurt.
This isn't poorly animated. Wait.
No, it's Who Sock Rumble!
Who Sock Podcast, but they're poorly animated?
I'm being beaten up right now.
And here we have Bertie going in with the second punches, third punches, fourth, neck punch. They're still not going down.
How many times have this podcast gone off the rails today?
More than three.
Many, many more than three.
Many, they speak
but
of
for
many
the sake
things.
Of argument,
three!
333.
I do like how we are... threes were very expressive at the start and have just sort of gone down to three.
Speak for yourself. My threes have been consistently three. I have seen three. You said he was the only one.
He said he was the only
last
one.
Survivor of his race.
That's a better impression. I'm not really trying that hard. I apologise.
Anyway, we're on Love and Monsters at the moment.
Well, can I just ask, how many minutes are we in? Are we?
Half an hour. Almost exactly.
Half an hour?
Just when I said exactly, it takes over to half an hour.
Well.
In terms of how long we've been here.
This is your halfway point, so also I'd like to remind Who's Up listeners, drink some water, please. You know, have a rest. And, you know, we'll be back after the break.
Not us not having water with us.
Do you want some?
No, that's fine.
I've got never seen a water bottle.
I'm hydrated. What are you talking about?
Stay hydrated.
Stay hydrated. Nubians. Love and Monsters.
Anyway, what do people think of the concept of absorption?
I mean, if you don't think that deeply enough. Yes.
It's
fun.
If it was executed very, very differently, it could be quite dark.
Yes.
And, like, body horror. It wasn't.
Wild Blue Yonder, but it's Love and Monsters.
Wild Blue Yonder, but it's Love and only.
Love Blue Monsters? Wild Blue Love?
Love Blue Monsters. You know what?
Wild and Blue? Wild and Yonder?
But yeah, it's...
Wild and Love.
I do love... I really like, actually, Elton's character development in it, where he starts off... He's just looking for the Doctor, and he's just trying to find the Doctor. And he does do very sort of creepy wrong by manipulating Jackie, and it's quite like, oh, that's actually really bad.
He was gonna sleep with her.
Yeah, like I mean, that is genuinely horrific.
Jackie deserves better.
Yeah, and she was fully right for, like, kicking him out and being like, leave me alone. But I love that he realises that, and is like, no, we used this woman, this is what when we're walking out. And I like, you know, he's awful for trying to do that to begin with, but I love that he has that growth and that.
Yeah, his thing is, like, when he gets back, he's not going, ah, oh, she's terrible for kicking me out. Mm. He's going, that was wrong.
But
yeah.
Camille Cadori's, I apologise if I'm saying their name wrong, but their acting in that scene where they're like, do you know what it's like to be the one who's left behind and things like that? Because it blooming hurts and things like that. It really is sort of heart-wrenching because you see all these sort of adventures with Rose and the Doctor and things like that, and you kind of forget that Jackie is at home and waiting and hoping that their child is okay and safe.
Mm. And I love that it touches on ultimately the Doctor's the effect that the Doctor has on Jackie's personal life, but also on the world in general and what it's like for an everyday person to live through these alien invasions. But also, for the families of the companions, and what I think that's really, really well executed in the episode.
Mm.
Even just little things, like, not to bring up Mickey Smith from Series 1, but, like, the whole thing of, like, even though it wasn't necessarily said in the same context, they're like, I used to have Mickey Smith to, or Mickey specifically, to do all the handyman job, and now he's gone, so, like, I need someone else. Like, that, even as a comment. Like, watching it back, you don't sort of think of that at first, because you forget. Mickey went off and did stuff. Mm. He's now gone. Spoilers. Well, gone from this world for a bit.
Spoilers for The Edge of Steel.
Behind and ready for Rose to sort of jump back into their life for a brief amount of time and then jump away from it.
Also,
which is quite sad.
Her daughter left her for a year.
Yeah.
Mm.
12 months, Rose.
I'd like to say it's a little bit of a... Not to go deep. It's a little bit of a commentary on motherhood and motherhood in the noughties. Like... Mm. You see Jackie and she's always defined by her daughter, which is a common thing for mothers, unfortunately. We need to do better as society, caveat, where mothers are defined by their motherhood and by their child. And I think you get that a lot in this episode where Jackie is defined by Rose and it goes down and explores that a little bit, that she is sort of a little untethered because she's been forced to grow up in a world where you are a mother, that's your role. And they do a really good job at showing that.
Yeah.
And in a nice way. It's not... RTD is a wonderful writer. It's a really good way of, like, peppering it in. And it's never, like, to her going, I'm a mother and I'm defined by my child. Which, you know, maybe if it was a Chibbers episode, we would have got that line.
I don't think there would have even been the commentary on motherhood.
Yeah. I don't know if RTD set out to have a commentary on motherhood.
In Love and Monsters.
In Love and Monsters, no less.
Of all things.
But that's what happens.
Yeah, and it is really interesting to sort of think about how Jackie is defined by Rose, and then everything that carries on is being defined by her child. And you're like, Jackie, one day I hope you're defined by Jackie, and only Jackie.
It's also, it's a very funny episode, right? I mean, like, forget the memes. Like, there's a lot of just genuinely good humour in it. Like when he first meets Jackie, and it's like, step one, initiate conversation, and she asks him for a quid or something. And, you know, that sort of thing. It's genuinely good humour. Or, like, when they're storming out, and Elton is saying to Ursula, and you, we're going to go to a Chinese, if you want. Like, you know, going from the big dramatic walking out to asking someone else on a date and completely shifting tone.
And you're
going to
go on a
funny.
Date with me, please.
Please, I'm desperate.
I like...
I put several letters underneath your door, please.
It's very sweet, their romance as well. It doesn't feel too forced, it doesn't feel odd. What I also find really sweet is, like, we can never know what Ten was doing to Elton's mother.
Trying to
I'm
save
pretty
her.
Sure,
let's
I'm pretty sure his mum was killed by an elemental shade and Ten was trying to stop it.
Out of the Shadows reference.
But the Mr. Blue Sky moment where the little Elton and the mum.
The orchestral sort of, yeah.
That's a really good bit of, like, Mr. Blue Sky to use for that. Often forgotten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's very well done.
It's powerful. It's actually powerful. Love of Monsters has a powerful moment, guys. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Elton's childhood was defined by his mother's death, and we only know her as his mother, not her name.
Your mother. Sorry.
They sort of built up to something that happened with Elton as a child. They never sort of mentioned Elton's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sort of maybe even sort of built up with Jackie talking about Rose as, like, their child and things like that as well. Might have been building up to that moment of, oh, Elton lost their mum at a young age.
Elton has mummy issues, and that's why he fancied Jackie.
What?
Now, let's not go there.
I've connected the dots.
Welcome to Who Stopped Podcast, also, where someone tries to make a point, and the answer is now mummy issues.
Also, I realised it's quite, I think, unintentionally comedic, but I think there's a parallel between the absorbal off, where just one touch means you get absorbed. And Elton says, if you touch the doctor just for a moment, then it has this effect on your life, which is like, it's a silly parallel, but I don't think it's meant to be a silly parallel.
No, that's actually
that's a good parallel.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
the absorbaloff is a metaphor for the doctor.
Also, I love that twice in the episode, you have a character go up to the absorbaloff and be like, what are you? You're like absorber.
Tricks,
Absorbatron.
Absorbaloff.
Yeah. Ah, yes, that one. Like,
I love
twice,
that. I find that really
quick
funny.
Succession.
Mm.
I mean, based on like basic comedic rules, there should have been a third, and then rule of three and all that. But whatever, RTD, you do you.
Maybe it got cut, you know. Maybe it.
Did RTD write the episode?
I think so.
Yeah.
Are we talking about Peter Kay's acting for a bit?
We can, if you like.
Victor Kennedy is surprisingly mostly well-acted. Yeah. Like, there is a sense of, like, okay, I can kind of understand why you're here, because you're like, we're going to actually find the Doctor. But equally, like, there's little weird things he says that puts him out as, like, not quite...
Most
human.
Likely to fight back.
No.
Eczema?
Eczema.
Sort of putting the stress on certain words and things like that, so they say there's something off about this person. Not only the fact that they've got a cane that is sort of like two hands.
Cane? Cane unable? Sorry, I apologise.
New Who Thought
Cane, would you like
game?
To be in a Durham audience?
One thing that I wonder is, are the absorbing powers a natural feature of the Absorbaloff, or is it technology? because I always assumed it was natural, but then you realise, first of all, if it's natural, why is it controlled by an artificial cane? That can be, like, just breaking that cane kills you. That's a very bad evolution, but also...
You said the cane was artificial.
Yeah, well...
Might have been a
label. You assume it's artificial, but also, if it's natural, it feels like quite an evolutionary, like... Not something you'd evolve that the faces can, like, pull and, like, disable you, sort of.
I'm the brain.
In my mind, it's actually, like, an artificial invention by the Absorbloff species.
I assumed it was a sort of naturally occurring thing. So if you think of, like, a water droplet and then you get another water droplet near it and it's sort of, they absorb into one. I thought it was a bit like that, whereas...
Is water droplets?
Maybe. But the cane is sort of holding the Absorbloff's form. Once the cane broke, it sort of splashes out everywhere. I thought it was a bit like that. Although I'm probably wrong.
I mean, that still works with it being artificial, though.
I'm just loving the idea of, like, baby Absorbloff being like, wah, wah, and then, like, with a massive oversized cane.
A big rattle.
Also, it means an Absorbloff... Can they touch each other without absorbing each other?
What? They'd probably just become one bigger Absorbloff.
No creatures in the universe.
No.
They can...
Could an Absorbloff absorb a weeping angel?
Can never high-five.
Well, they'd probably.
But it's would it get said and back in time? But what if it's a weeping angel that's, like, too weak to do it or just chooses not to?
Well, that's the thing of... Okay, so it would probably be you can't absorb it when you're looking at it because it's stone. You can't just absorb random stone.
Yeah.
But then as soon as you look away, it becomes an actual physical entity. And then suddenly, oh, I have a weeping angel in me. That's become stone. Anyway.
Oh, dear. Yeah. What if he absorbed a silent and then it's like, hang on. What did I just do? I've got a silence on me. What? just surprised every time he looks.
Oh, but that would also quite possibly mean that anyone looking at the Absorbloff from that point on would then end up forgetting because they also see the silence in the process.
So he adopts the powers of a silent.
See, the Absorbloff's got a lot of potential then. Do we think we'd ever want to see the Absorbloff?
Peter Kay, come on.
Are you free for DWA?
I think the problem is the way the Absorbloff is means that you couldn't really bring him back in a serious capacity. Or another of the species.
No, actually, it would be really fun if they did, though, of just ignoring how comedic that episode was, bring back... He's canonically the same species, but in a completely different tone.
It is quite funny how Clom, which is also brilliant comedy. What's the twin planet of Rectocorocephalopatorius?
Clom.
Clom?
But I love that Clom is one of the planets stolen by the Daleks and the Stolen Earth. And, like, you don't see it, but you know that there's a planet in that, like, the 26 planets in the sky. One of them is covered in Absorbloffs, just a civilization of Absorbloffs.
They're all on. What happened if an Absorbloff tried to absorb an Absorbloff?
I mean, that's what I said before.
We tried to question that.
Absorbloff squared. Absorbloff to the power of three.
The power of three by Chris Chibnall?
How many powers have you seen today?
Three!
I love how there's nothing to do with, like, the power of three in the episode other than the final sentence of the... Anyway, we're not talking about Series 7A.
So, Love and Monsters, I've heard it be referred to as sort of an episode based around the fandom itself. So, how...
Yeah, Linda feels a bit like the fandom in a way.
Oh, yeah, speaking of, Linda gets reference in Time Crash, doesn't it?
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Because... like, Five at first thinks that Ten is one of those fans. And it's like, oh, you're not one of them Linda lot, are you?
Oh, yeah, he does, which, doesn't he?
Like, is weird. Why are you put... Don't insert Linda into 80s Who. Don't stop it. Yeah. But especially given the Linda that we see focus entirely on 10, because of course the only Doctor that exists at any one time is the current one. No other Doctors exist.
Well, to be fair, they say there's a comment one of them makes about different faces of the Doctor. It's just 10 is the one that Elton's seen and that they find again.
The mic is not broken. But he not dead.
They're
laughing quite a lot.
I went to reach
for
my
water
bottle.
Not broke. The mic's not broke.
Anyway, there's one thing that happens in Love and Monsters that we've not addressed. Well, you know, apart from in comments by Bertie.
Oh no!
Concrete sex.
No.
We didn't have to move on to the sex, but there's an aspect. So the absorbable off gets absorbed by the ground, but the Doctor manages to save Ursula's face.
That's the only bit of the episode that I don't really like. Everything else is like, yeah, no, this is making fun.
Lord Diamond, it's concrete.
I feel like
no.
I feel like that would be a hellish way to live. Like, she's just like, yeah, it's not so bad.
No, I think it's quite peaceful.
A bit of a poor, unfortunate soul, you know?
Do you want to know what I think the worst bit about it is? She says, oh yeah, I don't age. So she's stuck like that.
Yeah, she's just immortal.
For all time.
I just imagine. Also, why does she think she's not going to age?
Ursula from the 12-0 paving slab, Ursula.
I think it's very interesting that now, as Jackie was defined by Rose, and Elton's mum was defined by being Elton's mum, Ursula is now defined by Elton. She is taken around by him.
Yeah.
She can't see anyone else, because then they're going to have to explain why he has a talking slab of concrete. And when discussing her, as much as I joke about concrete sex, he goes, oh, we even managed to have a bit of a love life. Like, he's not talking about her hopes, her passions, her dreams that she had before that have all been stopped. He has degraded her.
And he sort of just had her on the desk.
Yeah, he's degraded her to a romantic and sexual object. He has literally was there as she got objectified.
Yeah, literally turned into an object.
Yeah. And instead of talking about her and all the things that she could be doing, he mentions their love life. Like, in this little vlog that he's doing, he has decided that, A, he's the main character, so you know that boy had a popping Spotify playlist. But he
would it feature main character by Will Wood? Daleks and High Collars monologue, and I outsmart them with a ray gun and a tweet.
Listen
anyway.
To Will Wood. He has got her as an object, and he is now the master of her fate. It's a very...
The master!
It's a really interesting... I can't remember the master scene. Silencing my feminist inlook into the definition of woman in the RTD era.
Apologies, continue.
Please, fine. Don't need it. It's interesting that this episode, that apart from... Rose is defined by the Doctor in the episode. She is the Doctor's companion. Jackie's defined by Rose. Elton's mum is defined by Elton. And Ursula now becomes defined by Elton. Whereas the Doctor is cheery old cheery, and Elton's our main character for the episode. Which was probably not done on purpose,
and
but is...
the absorber off. Is the absorber.
We can't gender them. We don't know what they identify as. It's just
the
very
genuine article.
Yeah. The. My pronouns are genuine
I'm
article.
Always the leap. Anyway,
I am always that's... the leap.
the voice crack and everything was perfect. Sorry.
It's just very interesting that, you know, it was the female character that became concrete.
Yeah.
And that now her life is defined through the romantic and sexual gratification that she gets from Elton. Because without going to
Elton
Pope,
I remember when Rock was young.
Quite literally. Without getting too into it, she is just a face, so she's not going to be getting much back either.
The face of pavement.
Yeah. So she is nothing but a prop for him. Yeah.
Who stopped podcasts where you realise your favourite Doctor Who episodes are really bad?
I don't think it takes away from the comedy of the episode, and
it's quite an interesting.
It's an unfortunate ending.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting to think of. You know, because they could have left.
Yeah, and they think dead. They also they feel like they try and give it a positive twist.
Yeah, whereas you know, even watching it as a child, I was like, no, thank you. I wouldn't like to be concrete.
I didn't understand like the sexual implications as a child, but it's. I do remember very much thinking like that doesn't, like because for like they're a few days in and they're like, yeah, this is great, but for the rest of her life, she physically can't do anything. She can only ever interact with Elton, not her family, her friends.
Nothing.
What happens if they break up?
What you know? If Elton dies?
Yeah, is she just left there forever?
But, like, if she's immortal, she's stuck.
Do they need food?
Does she have the option of breaking up with him? Could it turn into a toxic relationship? Because she no longer has power, agency, or the ability to consent.
I can't see how it could possibly be a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
We started this episode off so happy. So we started off with music and everything.
Carbon monsters. Many monsters.
I'm going to say that we move on to questions. How many love and or monsters have you seen today?
Three!
I have seen three! Who would win in a fight? Saldiv's dreams of conquest or Victor Kennedy's genuine articles?
It'll be the genuine articles, I think.
Well, yeah. One touch is all it takes, you know?
No,
also,
but
the dreams of conquest are sort of shattered immediately. So did the genuine articles.
Well, no, they didn't shatter, they sort of liquefied.
It's all about the dreams of conquest.
It's all about the dreams of conquest.
Anyway, which member of Linda could most accurately be called a meddlesome hussy?
Bliss. No. Elton.
Yeah, definitely Elton.
If we're going off of Victor Kennedy / the Adorbloff comments, then I guess it would be Ursula, because she's the first to fight back, but it's Elton Pope.
What do you think Elton is up to now? This was set in 2007. Apparently it's 2024, so this is 17 years later.
How long do you think people live?
Not of old age!
Oh, yeah.
Ursula's finally crap.
Why is he dead?
Yeah.
I don't think you want to know what Elton Pope is doing just now. It's not good to think about. Never before have people been so disappointed
Who's
in me.
Podcast,
and mind you,
everyone?
That is an achievement.
What happened when Elton was like possessed by the giggle?
Just really beefed a piece of concrete.
Was Ursula possessed by the giggle?
Presumably, because like what's left of her is still human.
Angry paving slab.
He just put her in the closet. Just like,
although,
is she ever
going to
come out?
No, she can't. No, she can't move.
Oh.
It's just face down. Puts a bubble wrap.
You can't have body dysmorphia if you don't have a body. Anyway.
Moving right along.
Second one, on the topic of Bliss's statue, what does the Doctor mean to you, and what he could represent, and what he should represent, and what he never won't represent, sort of thing.
It looks
many
suspiciously
things.
Like tentacles.
Do you think Elton would remember all the alien invasions despite the universe resetting / general forgetfulness of humanity? I imagine, given that he has direct involvement, he probably wouldn't so much.
No, I think they got lost in a track down when they were listening to Jeff Lynne's new albums and stuff.
According to Stephen Moffat, it's being a time traveller that makes you not forget the things. That's the point. Amy then forgets things anyway because of people. I don't know. Someone was smoking something, I'm just saying.
In my mind, the crack...
The whole human race.
In my mind, the crack was sort of undone at the end of Series 5. Mm. I don't think that was supposed to be what it is, but in my mind, that has to be how it works. But also, in terms of the general forgetfulness of the human race, I think that doesn't apply when you're living with something which is directly created by aliens.
Mm. Oh yeah, that's a good point. Like, imagine just waking up one day and being like,
why do I have a concrete slab with... Because it's clear, like, the people in units haven't forgotten the alien invasions.
Just from the cupboard. Elton!
Anyway.
I like to think that she's actually in bed with him. Like, he...
I don't like to think
tucks her up.
I don't
never
like to
speak
think
again.
You said,
does she
like
get her own little
think.
Dog bed?
Oh, no!
Leave!
Again.
Get out!
Poor
out!
Angela.
No, because if
out.
You leave now, then you can leave a third time, and we'll be like, how many times have we left you there? Anyway, sorry.
Ollie, please
so sorry.
Leave.
What did Elton do during the flux / giggle? That's what I just said.
During the flux, though...
I'd like to note that Ollie hasn't seen these questions beforehand. I compiled them.
Hang on. Surely, like, during the flux, most people were just kind of vibing.
Yeah.
Oh, and then the Sontaran showed up.
Sontaran showed up twice.
I think Elton was trying to make a new Linda group.
Beth is proud of themselves operating my sonic screwdriver.
Elton was probably...
Yeah, I think it's better heard in...
Elton was
Bertie
probably going, I'm going to get involved. Elton Pope is dead at the hands of the Sontarans.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, no.
Oh, where did that lead? Before they were about to kill Elton, they went weekly.
The doctor in the future will pick her up and be like, okay, we're gonna try and rectify my mistakes. We're going to try and
You're
figure out a way to get you to
be... You're going to be my new
handles. I'm going to make a robot body for you, and you are going to be able to control it. And Ursula gets a happy ending.
She's with Lady Ashilda and Clara.
Thing is, Nardole got a new body. Why can't Ursula get a new body?
New body, at last.
Anyway, does Elton find new friends to walk out to ELO with? No, it's just Ursula.
It's only Ursula's on drums.
They play heavy metal.
In the Barbie movie, when all the Kens are playing around the fire. Yeah. She's Barbie. Ursula is Barbie.
No.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Ursula.
Love and Monsters is a story about the effects of the Doctor rather than seeing one of his own adventures, even if the episode suffers or improves from memory. Do we want more of these stories and how?
Yes,
I really would.
Yeah.
I would love to see more of these stories if they're done better than this.
Got Blink, which I think is a really good no Doctor story.
Yeah, but I don't just, but the question doesn't just mean Doctor Light stories, it means in stories where you see the Doctor's effect on the world.
Maybe even an episode where we're looking at the companions, family and friends.
Yeah, I would love to see, I feel like Turn Left does a good job of that actually, because forget Doctor Light, it's
so
just, it's what happens when the Doctor is no longer around. I love seeing the everyday thing, and I think it's one thing the RTD era does really well.
Like with Martha's family, you see the effect of the Doctor on Martha's family, though I want it more. But that's all what spin-offs do a little
bit. That's her episode. Turn Left. I know what my opinion is. Turn Left or Midnight.
Midnight.
On its own, Ooh. Midnight.
Midnight is
on
my second
midnight.
Favourite Doctor episode ever. Turn Left is up there, but it doesn't beat Midnight.
Midnight, I think, is the Doctor Who episode that I can say is close to perfect. But Turn Left, for me, through like a bunch of different like really subjective factors, my favourite.
I think Turn Left is my favourite.
Because is it technically better than Midnight? Maybe not, but it's got... The emotional, it's got the nostalgia.
Catherine Tate.
She's a comedian. She how is she that? Why are we talking about Turn Left
They're
and Midnight on the Love and Monsters
Leeds.
And Horns of Nymon podcast?
Leeds!
That's what you get. You just get Leeds!
This question, I don't understand. It reads, what is the Hoix and why did the crew waste so much money on its costume when it appears for 3 minutes?
That's
what is
from
the Hoix?
Joe.
Are you sure you spelled that right in your
I
notes?
I copy and pasted
okay.
it.
Weeks. Maybe she's Joe, email him.
Spotify's got that. Spotify's got that like comment like questions or something like that. I don't know.
Why are you taking my
phone? No, that'll be the thing with teeth from Love and Monsters. The teethy thing.
Oh, yeah.
Blue. I said not blue.
That little creature.
I don't know. I think it's in Pandora Opens, and I have. Not one, but two action figures of it, I'm fairly sure.
The Hoix is also either in a Torchwood episode or a Torchwood book. I think it might be.
I think.
Mm. Yeah, they turn up and are tortured because I knew what they are.
Hang on.
Through torture, but hang I can't on. Tell you if it's no. Bachelorette.
No, I don't want torture. No, they can't have that. They had enough teeth in the first episode. You don't need that many the blood will be everywhere.
You don't need that many teeth.
Oh, no, the blood's everywhere.
Oh, anyway. Not again.
Final question. With shorter 8-episode series now being used, does this prevent more experimental episodes like Love and Monsters 2006 and other Dr. Light episodes due to the decreased space for character arc and general quality? And if so, how significant is this for the show? I think you can't lose these kind of episodes.
No. I think we might.
I don't think we will, because you can have a one-part opener and a two-part finale. There's still 5 remaining episodes for filler.
I do have a point, which is that this is now talking about the Charger movie round, but they specifically brought in the Doctor earlier than previously planned, because it could have been a relatively Doctor-like episode for the first section. Mm. They still had to bring him in, because various different sources say different things, but it was essentially... people wanted Doctor to come in earlier because it's Doctor Who.
Mm.
And there is I would worry that that means that that's kind of going to be the consensus of what should happen in future episodes as well. A different story because this is the introduction of a Doctor. Sort of. So it makes sense, but...
we do lose space for filler episodes because you notice that with later seasons because there's just not as many episodes to be stupid with.
Yeah, it's like with Chibnall.
What's the last stupid episode we had?
I mean, Chibnall is.
I think the last filler episode we've had would have been Can You Hear Me?
I never watched that.
Oh.
I think my brain just sort of skipped over that and I never watched
it. I watched it, but all I remember from that's one with the fingers, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fingies?
That's what you get. That's
what you would have done. It's before Flux. It's got the Eternals. It's about like mental health and stuff.
I never finished watching Flux and I never watched Can
But that
you
wasn't
hear
Doctor
me?
Light at all. That wasn't
No, I'm just saying it's the last.
So
yeah, it's just the last filler
episode.
What's
the last Doctor Light episode we had?
I don't know if we've had any since Turn Left.
Did I watch this?
We've had this discussion. I'm pretty sure you did.
There was at one point me and Ollie were just chilling, and Ollie went through every episode of the Jodie era to see which ones I remembered because I've watched everything up to the first episode of Flux, and apart from really specific moments, I can't remember most of it.
Which makes sense, given...
Oh! I remember right at the end when they announce that they're going to go visit Mary Shelley.
I don't remember them saying that.
As her companions discuss their future with the Doctor, she suddenly announces they are going to visit Mary Shelley. This is from the Wikipedia page.
I see. Nice. Is this the Wikipedia page or the TARDIS Wiki page?
Wikipedia, not TARDIS Wiki.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's fun.
I was going to make a point. I guess the closest we've got to a Doctor Light episode would have been Flatline.
Flatline's fairly Doctor Light.
But it's like, it's still got a significant point. And like, Doctor comes back and is like, what? Clara's doing her job better than me. I declare you the bonus, now get it off!
Spoilers for next week's episode.
I think the
That's
person
next week.
Asking,
oh, yeah, it is. Flatline.
Asking about like how would this work for arcs, I think if anything's written very carefully and well, you can make anything happen. But I think if you sort of weave in, like in in Turn Left, we see Donna's arc, being the most important woman of all creation and stuff. And we see how important Donna is. Mm. Absolutely. We see how Donna is like key and integral to the Doctor's success and the sort of thriving and life on Earth as well as the universe. So in terms of that arc, it was written very well, and I'd say succeeded. If we're talking about the Doctor's arc and a Doctor Light episode, you can talk about the absence of the Doctor as well as that as seen in Turn Left. But I don't think it would sort of prevent or even affect harshly how well arcs can turn out, especially since you've got 7 other episodes to try and figure that out.
it tells you a lot about the character of the Doctor that if Donna hadn't been around in The Runaway Bride, he wouldn't have stopped and would have got himself killed. That tells you a lot about his character without him even really significantly needing to be in the episode.
That is kind of a point.
I think on that cheery note,
our voice is hushed.
We're going to wrap up Meme Week.
Meme Week!
Meme!
It's goodbye from me, Ollie, from Bertie.
Goodbye!
Lottie.
Drink water.
And Cormac.
This isn't University Challenge. What are you doing?
Anyway.
Goodbye!
next week, we're going to be discussing Identity Theft Week, where we will be discussing The Gunfighters and Flatline. Ooh. Join us then.
Goodbye!
Bye!
How many Nymons have you seen today? Email in.
Purple Radio Podcasts.
Thanks for downloading this Purple Radio podcast. For more great content and to listen live, head to purpleradio.co.uk.